Aleluya.
We believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your helps. Thank you for your interventions. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that is sufficient for us. Thank you for moving mightily in our lives and situations to reveal your great signs and wonders. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever. In Jesus' name, thank you for your peace and the joy that fills our heart. Thank you for always meeting us at the point of our need. Thank you for subduing Satan under our feet. Thank you, Lord, for glorifying your name in our lives by answering our prayers. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for many things you have taught us in your scriptures. Through these Bible study classes, we thank you for what you would teach us today again. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you open our hearts to hear and obey your word. Tonight, help us to do all that you will teach us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. We're going to continue from where we stopped last week. We're going to continue from where we stopped last week. Last week, we dealt with caution against pleasing people to the point of compromising. Which is the first point under point number 5. Point number 5 says cautions against compromising with the word. So point A under this point number 5 says caution against pleasing people to the point of compromising. So you can call that 5A. So now we are moving to point B, under point 5. So you can call it 5B. Yeah, 5B. And the topic says we should stand up for and not be ashamed of our faith. We should stand up for our faith and not be ashamed of our faith. Yeah, that's the topic. It's kind of long, but I don't know how to shorten it. Yeah, we should stand up for and not be ashamed of our faith. Praise the Lord. Let us look at the book of Mark. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Chapter 8, verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Let me take it again. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words, this is Jesus speaking here. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Not be ashamed of our faith. We should stand firm for our faith. You should ask yourself, how much have I stood up for my faith, for my Christian faith? How much have I stood up for my Christian faith? How much have I done because of my faith in Jesus? The text is Mark 8, verse 38. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. So we should ask ourselves, how much have we stood up for our faith in Jesus? How much have you done because you believe Jesus and his words? How much are you willing to do because you believe in Jesus and in the words of Jesus? And How much of the gospel have you preached to those who are living in sin? How much of the gospel of Jesus have you preached to those who need repentance? So we should ask ourselves this question. And of course, we should also answer the question by ourselves. Because if we are ashamed of Jesus, He is going to be ashamed of us in His kingdom. What that means is that He won't allow you to enter into His kingdom, even though you might hear some experience with Him. Yeah, then that is what He meant by He will be ashamed of you in the presence of His Father and the holy angels. What it means is that He will not consider whatever experience or whatever relationship you and Him have had before while you were on earth. Jesus will not consider whatever relationship you have had with Him. Yeah, He will not even look at your face. He will just tell you, get out of my kingdom. You do not belong here. Yeah, so that is what it means. It means He will not recognize you as His own if you are ashamed of Him here. Let's say He tells you to do something and then you feel like, if I start doing this, people will call me names. Now, if you feel like if I start doing this thing in my neighborhood, in my environment, people will start calling me names. That is being ashamed of Jesus. If you are afraid of what people will say, you are afraid of what people will say, and you kept your mouth shut concerning the preaching of the gospel of Jesus, then Jesus will not welcome you into His kingdom. Because while you were on earth, you preferred to please men than to please Him. You preferred to not be called names. Yeah. Than to preach Jesus. So you need to make sure that you are not ashamed of Jesus and of His words. Now, you need to make sure that you are not ashamed of Jesus and of His words here on earth. You must not be ashamed. Not only that, the topic says we should stand up for our faith. sand home for your feet, which means there will be many people who profess to be Christians like you are that will not stand up for their faith. So you have to be different. You have to be different. You have to stand up for your faith. Even if other Christians and the ministers are not doing the same. So you need to stand up for your faith. You need to stand up for your faith. Let us look at another scripture. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So here we saw defending his faith in Jesus. He said he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So likewise, we also must not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We must not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We need to preach this gospel. Preach everywhere. Preach to everyone. Don't wait for a convenient time before you preach. Don't wait for a comfortable time before you preach. Preach every day. Now, some time ago we used to have people who are not really traveling. They are not really traveling to anywhere. They will just intentionally enter into a bus that is going to somewhere. They would enter into that bus just because they want to preach to the people in that bus. They will follow the bus to the final destination, and then they will enter into another bus coming back to where they left just because they wanted to preach the gospel. And some people in this category, I mean, Christians that does that, I don't know if much people do that anymore, but we used to have people that do that. A Christian that does that, they don't mind traveling 10, 15 times in a day. So that is, they take the first bus, they preach, they take the second bus, they preach, they go again and again and again till evening. Yeah, they keep preaching. Yeah. So, what is stopping you from preaching the gospel? Yeah, what is stopping you from preaching the gospel to those who need to repent? Anything that is stopping you from preaching the gospel is going to send you to hell. Yeah, you can quote me. You can write it down. Anything that is stopping you from opening your mouth to preach the gospel anywhere you find yourself, whether in the market, in the marketplace, whether on the street, whether in the school, whether in your neighborhood, anything that is stopping you from preaching the gospel is going to send you to hell. Yeah, that's the fact. Because you have no excuse. You have no excuse. You have no reason for not preaching the gospel. Yeah, and if you don't repent and correct yourself now, you are not likely to enter into God's kingdom. Because it's a command to preach the gospel. Yeah. It's the command. Jesus gave us that command. If it didn't say, it's not compulsory, do it whenever you like. He said, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. That's what Jesus said. So that was a direct command. And failure to obey is a sin. Yeah, so if you are not preaching the gospel, you are committing sin. I don't know if anyone has told you that before. And that alone will send you to hell. That alone will send you to hell. Yeah, so there's no genuine reason. Yeah. There is no genuine reason for not preaching the gospel. Yeah, the worst that can happen is the people tell you, leave here, we don't want to hear, your sermon or your message. Yeah, and what does the Bible tell us about that? The Bible says we should leave them. In fact, in another place, the Bible says we should shake the dust, we should smash our feet on the ground. Yeah. And shake the dust off our sandals, that the dust will testify against those people on the judgment day that they rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, the Bible said, if they don't receive you in a place, move to the other place, move to the next community, move to the next street. Move to the next town or city. Yeah, so you don't have excuse for not preaching the gospel. You have no excuse. I pray that you will open this opening. Please, you go. You will be rich. If possible. To preach the gospel. They have not much of the internet usually to preach the gospel. They have not much of the internet have you used. Even text messages. Yeah. You have phone numbers of many people. You have a lot of contacts. Okay. Can you hear me now? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Still breaking. Can you hear me clearly now? The network is not good, but okay. But we have to trust God that it will be good. As I was saying, I said you can even use text messages. You can use text messages. I remember some time ago I used to send text messages to people. In fact, I'll go to them and collect their phone numbers, and then I would buy airtime, and then I would compose a very short message that has to do with the gospel, repentance, messages that has to do with drawing closer to God, loving God, righteousness, holiness, and I will send it to many contacts. Yeah, this is not even internet. I haven't been on the internet then. Yeah, I will collect text messages of people. I'm sorry, phone numbers of people, and I would buy her time, compose a short message, and I'll send it to them. And many of them, they used to respond. They would tell me they saw my text, and it really blessed them. Yeah. So why can't you do that? Yeah, why can't you also do that? And not only that, you can also make use of WhatsApp. There's a feature on WhatsApp that is called broadcast messages. So where you can add a lot of people, you can add up a lot of content in that section of broadcast messages. And once you send the message in that section, everyone you have added to that section, they will get the message at once. There is also a bulk SMS. You can go and subscribe to bulk SMS, where you can send a message and it will reach hundreds of people. Yeah, so technology has made it even more easier to preach the gospel. Yeah, so if you feel like some people will say, I don't know if people are seeing my post I posted on Facebook, I posted on Instagram, I don't know if people are really seeing it. Yeah, then try the ones that you know they will see it. Yeah, the point is that they see your message, that they receive your message. That is your goal. Your goal is that they should receive your message. So they might not respond. They can read and then respond to God and then go and talk to God. So they don't have to respond to you. Yeah. In as much as they got your message and they read, that is all, you have done your own part. So whether they respond or they don't respond, that should not bother you. What you should be concerned about is that the message gets to them. Yeah, so take advantage of everything to preach the gospel. Yeah, and of course, the fact that you preach through the internet doesn't mean you should not also go out on the street and preach, because not everyone are on the internet, and some they only come on the internet to check something and then they're out. Some they only come once in a while. So what if the next time someone will go will check the internet, would already be too late for them. I don't know if I get to my point. What if the next time a man or a woman will come online, will come on the internet, would already be too late for him? Maybe he would have died before he will come on the internet. But you could meet that person on the street, and you could win that soul for Jesus. Yeah, so don't stick to only one method of preaching the gospel. Use every method that is available to you. Use every means, because the kingdom of darkness, they are also using every means that is available to them. Yeah, they are using every platform to draw souls into perdition, into eternal damnation, into sin. Yeah, so devil is using every means available to enslave people, to seduce, to entice, to tempt. Yeah, to lure people into sin. So we also should use every means possible. Yeah, we should use every means possible. We should use songs. We should use movies or drama or videos. We use Hachikun's, we should use radio, we should use television, we should use all the platforms Satan is also using to win souls. And then we should go on the streets. Yeah, I pray that the Lord will help you to do these things. In Jesus' name. Let us continue. Second Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 8. Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. From this verse, you can see that gospel as afflictions. And not only that, the gospel also have persecutions. It has afflictions. It has persecutions. We must be willing to endure all of that for the sake of Jesus, because we love Jesus. We must be willing to endure afflictions, to endure persecutions that comes with the gospel, because we really love Jesus and because we want souls to be won into the kingdom of Christ. In that verse, it said, "Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." What does that mean? It means God has given us power. As many of us who preach the gospel. Yeah, the latter part of the verse that says, "Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God," means that God has given us power. As many of us who preaches the gospel, God has given us power to endure, to go through the afflictions that comes with the gospel, and even the persecution that comes with the gospel. So it is part of the gospel through shame, afflictions, and persecution while winning souls. Yeah, there is shame in the gospel. There is afflictions in the gospel, and there is persecutions in the gospel. So we must be willing to go through all of that in order to win. We must be willing to go through all of that. So the question is, are you willing? Are you willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel? Are you willing to go through afflictions, persecutions, for the sake of the gospel? Are you willing to go through shame for the sake of the gospel? Yeah, because some people, once they encounter some challenges during the course of preaching the gospel, the next time they should go to preach, they will start giving excuses, or they just become discouraged and don't want to preach anymore, because the first time they tried that, they encountered some challenges or some persecutions. That is wrong. Yeah, even if many people hated you for preaching Jesus, that is when you should put more effort. That is not when you should be discouraged. Yeah, so you should be excited when you suffer afflictions because of preaching the gospel. You should be excited whenever you suffer persecutions because of preaching the gospel. It's a sign that your gospel is really working. Yeah, because if it's not working, people will not attack your message. Yeah. If your message is not really cutting deep into people's souls, into people's hearts, they will not attack the message. Yeah. They will not. But when your message is really touching the hearts of people, and it's really bringing them to repentance, then they have to attack your message. They have to persecute you. Yeah. So be ready to endure afflictions. Be ready to partake of it. Yeah, because it will make you more powerful. The more the afflictions you partake of, the more persecutions you partake of, the more shame you partake of while preaching the gospel, the more powerful as a Christian. I hope you are still hearing me clearly. I don't know what I'll do to the network. Can you still hear me clearly? All right. Okay, let's continue. Now let's move to another Bible verse. First Peter. First Peter chapter 4 verse 16. First Peter 4 verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. 1 Peter 4 verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. If you suffer as a Christian, you should not be ashamed. What are the examples of suffering as a Christian? One of the examples is a case where you are in a place of work, and other co-workers say they are taking bribes, or they are doing something that is contrary to the will of God, but you decided to not join them. Do they do that to make extra money at the place of work, but you decided to not join them? And then they began to attack you, and probably they went to tell some lies about you to the employer, and then eventually they had to sack you or send you out of the job. And then thereafter you start suffering, having no food to eat, no money to spend. So all of that is an example of suffering as a Christian. When you suffer for standing for the truth, you should not be ashamed. When you suffer for standing for righteousness, you should not be ashamed. is. You should not be ashamed. In fact, Peter said, you should glorify God for that opportunity to suffer as a Christian, because it's going to add more value to your spiritual life and, of course, even to your physical life. So we should not be ashamed when we suffer as a Christian. When we suffer because we are standing for what is right. We are standing for righteousness. Standing for the truth. Standing for Jesus. Defending the gospel, preaching the gospel. We should not be ashamed. We should not be ashamed. Our topic once again says we should stand up for and not be ashamed of our faith. Stand up for your faith, even if it looks like you are the only one standing. Even if it looks like every other person are no longer standing for their faith, standing for Jesus, you should. In fact, this is how we will know those who really belong to Jesus. This is how we will know when you stand for Him, even secretly, where no one is seeing you. Yeah, when you stand for Him in a foreign land where nobody knows you, there are some people they are quick to change identity when they find themselves in a place where nobody knows them. They will behave differently as though they were never a Christian. As is here. Yeah, so you should stand for Jesus even in your secret place where no one sees you. You should stand for the truth. You should stand for righteousness. This is how you prove that you belong to Jesus. That is how you will prove that you are worthy of God's kingdom. Before we round off, let's look at 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The foundation of God standeth sure. God knoweth those that are his. So how you will know that you are his is by standing for him when no one else is standing. By standing out among multitudes for Jesus, by standing for him when it is not convenient, when it is not comfortable, that is how to know if you belong to Jesus. That is how to know if you will enter into the kingdom of Jesus. Yeah, you will know by standing up for Jesus when it is difficult, when it is not comfortable, when it is not convenient. That is how you will know. If you are one of the elect or not. Someone was asking a question. He said, if God already knows those people that will make heaven, why are we all stressing ourselves? And why are we all trying to make heaven? Since God knows everything, which is true. He knows all things. He knows those that will end up in hell. And he knows those that will end up in heaven. So the person was asking that since God already knows those that we go to hell and those that will go to heaven, then why are we disturbing ourselves trying to make heaven? Maybe we are not even part of those that will go to heaven. Yeah. This thing was really serious when asking a question. Or maybe some of the simple answer to that question goes for knowledge. It's not God's ordination. The fact that God knows something does not mean he has proved that thing to be the way. It not doesn't mean that he ordained it to be like that. Doesn't mean he approved it to be like that. So the point is that we have this life is like a movie. You have to play your part. Yeah, you have to play your part. Yeah, it's just that we don't know how the movie will end. But God knows. Yeah, but we have to play our part. So this life is like a film. It's like a movie. Yeah. It's going to end somewhere. But how it will end, we don't know. The series of events that will happen, we don't know. Yeah, but we have to play our part. So, God did not, or maybe I should say, God is not going to tell people what exactly their future will be. But he's going to give everyone an opportunity to make a choice. Yeah, so God will not tell you now and say, you will end up in hell. God will not come and tell you that I saw the future. And in that future, you did not make heaven. You went to hell. God will not tell you that. Yeah. What God is doing is he's giving everybody an opportunity to make right choices. Yeah, though you already know what will happen, but you have an opportunity to prove who you really are and who you actually belong to. Is it Jesus or Satan? So you have the opportunity to prove who you belong to. So we are in this world to actually prove that. Yeah, and we are not like a computer robot. We are not being controlled. So we are free will beings. Yeah, humans are free will agents. We are free will beings. So we have our own will. We have the power to choose what we want. Yeah. So that makes it even more difficult. Yeah, to say that maybe I will not make heaven. Maybe I will make heaven. Because everything is in your hand. The way God has designed the human life is so wonderful that everything is in your hand. Yeah. So you are the one to choose where you are going. So if you say, God already know where I'm going, so whatever I do, though, will not change anything. It's a lie. Yeah, because that was not that is not how God planned it. God planned it in a way that you have to decide where you are going after this world by the choices and decisions you make. That's the way God has designed it. Yeah. So the fact that you refuse to stand for Jesus where many people on Jesus, that the Lord shows that you do not belong to Jesus. Yeah, so if you think that you belong to Jesus, then prove it and show it publicly and secretly. Prove it publicly, prove it secretly. If you think you're among those that are going to heaven, then prove it, because it's in your hand. All the grace that you need to stand for righteousness has been given to you. Yeah. So it's in your hand. So if you can't prove it, then it means you don't belong to Jesus. But if you can prove it, it means you belong to Jesus. So it's possible that you will know where you are going. In fact, not that it's possible. It is a reality that you will know where you are going, whether it's God's kingdom or eternal damnation. Yeah, you will know. If you discover that, you are beginning to feel comfortable with sin, with uncleanness, with unrighteousness, then it means you are in trouble. Yeah, because it means you are fulfilling a negative prophecy. It means you are enlisting yourself among people that are going to hell. That's what it means. Yeah, so it's not a good sign. If you begin to love sin, you begin to feel comfortable with unrighteous, with lukewarmness, with coldness, with prayerlessness, you begin to be comfortable, I mean, you begin to feel okay with the disobedience, with being carnal, with walking in the flesh, that is a danger sign that you probably don't belong to Jesus. Yeah, because if you belong to Jesus, you will prove it. You will not be comfortable. Yeah, you will not be okay with not preaching the gospel. You won't be okay with not preaching the gospel. You won't be okay seeing souls perishing all around you, and they are dying without repenting. You will not be okay if you belong to Jesus. Yeah, so let us walk worthy of our calling as a Christian. Let us walk worthy of our profession as a Christian. Prove it that you are a Christian. Prove it that you love Jesus. Until you prove it, you have not yet confirmed your place in heaven. I'm telling you the truth. Until you prove that you are a Christian, you have not yet confirmed your place in Christ, even before God's angels. So you have to prove it. I pray that the Lord will help you. Jesus, and to serve Jesus, and to preach Jesus in these last days. In Jesus' name, I pray that the Lord will help you to stand for your faith without shame. In Jesus' name. If you have any question, you can ask on the group. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for this Bible study class. Thank you for everything you have revealed to us. Thank you for showing us that we must not be ashamed of you. Thank you for teaching us that we can come for you, for our faith in you, always. I ask that you help everyone here who are making new decisions. Help everyone here to begin to do what is right in your sight. As many here who haven't preached the gospel in a long time, and as many who suddenly stopped preaching the gospel, I ask that you revive them and help them to continue and to start preaching the gospel in the name of Jesus. Whenever your people encounter afflictions, challenges, persecutions during the course of doing this assignment you have given to us, I ask, O Lord, that you give them the courage and the strength and the boldness to overcome and to stand in Jesus' name. I pray for you that while everyone else is turning their backs on Jesus, even in public places, you will be different. In the name of Jesus. While everyone else prefer to please men than to preach against sin, you will be different. In the name of Jesus. While everyone else are afraid to tell the truth, to defend the truth, to stand for the truth, you will not be afraid. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you will be obedient to the voice of the Lord at this time. I pray that you will not fail your Creator. I pray for you again. You will not fail your Creator. In the name of Jesus. Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.